Welcome to Advanced Living. This is your host, Kenneth Lesser, and I am just once again thrilled to be with you and to share more goodness and value. We've set out to bring you things that are going to make your life so much better. And, of course, there's a key to this. We've got to call on things that are very simple to implement. So when we're done sharing good things with you, you'll be able to say,
"That was easy."
Yes. We're going for easy. And today, oh my gosh, we have got Carol May to visit us. And Carol, amazingly, has been dubbed by the angels as the sacred voice for light. Now, what about Carol? Oh, get ready. We're going to have some fun. She's been practicing and known as the Angel Lady for 25 years, an internationally known personal growth counselor, an empath, Reiki master and teacher, and just so fun to be with, quick to share her amazing smile, earthy humor, and healing voice. And she has helped people receive guidance from their soul and meet they're angels, yes, to aid in the understanding. Some of you may be wanting to call in to talk with her today and to helping people embrace their divine nature and purpose. And, yes, she's worked extensively with the archangels and Metatron and developed a spiritual school and recorded angel dolphin and self-esteem meditation affirmation CDs. And you can get them on her website when you go to, oh, I love this name, lotus grid.com. And of course, aren't we wondering what is this lotus grid? Well, stay tuned, we're going to find out. And so much more. We're going to have Carol share a little bit more of her background personally. I just can't wait for you to hear her sparkling voice and to learn from her book, Working with Angels in Everyday Life. We got to put them to work more, and we got to know how to do it. So Carol May, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, come on.
Come on down. Thank you for that great welcome, Ken. I appreciate that.
Oh, and this is fun.
Hello and blessings to everyone out there, too.
Yes, that's right. Now, your book, Working with Angels in Everyday Life. Now, that is just exciting. I'm wondering, you know, how that book came to be and how that writing, there's a chapter in there on the 80-20 rule and how angels help in times of tragedy. So much. Oh, just help here. I can't.
Yeah. Well, I'll start teeny-weeny at the beginning. I really was born with a gift. And, you know, all of us have a gift of one form or another, including, of course, just the gift of being alive. But one of my gifts was being able to walk between the dimensions and talk to angels when I was really little. And And I was actually probably, I was about 5 or 6 before I realized that not everybody did that. I thought everybody saw auras and talked to the angels and things like that. It's one of the things that I cover in the book because I think that a lot of humans have incredible experiences with sounds and colors and lights that are actually, you know, angelic contact, especially when they're young. But we don't always have someone around backing us up or letting us know, hey, that was a spiritual experience. That was good. That was wonderful. But what I was going to say was that in working with angels, you know, year after year after year, my experience became that this was not about a particular belief system. You don't have to have a belief or be a certain religion or anything like that in order to really receive help from, it's sort of what I consider the goodness of the universe. You know, like, well, I'll get to that 80-20 rule chapter in a second, but there is one chapter in there that talks about overlighting devas, like the overlighting deva of water, the overlighting deva of music, and the overlighting deva of sunshine, that there's actually angelic essence or presence, especially if you equal that to the goodness of the universe. You know, the goodness of the universe shows up. It's all around everything that's out there. And so much of what the beings were teaching me throughout my life was how to communicate with that, how to give and receive, just some ways to meditate, ways to talk or sing when you're out in nature or when you're washing the dishes, when you're just doing everyday life sorts of things. Well, so most of my experiences with angels were very positive, and they bless us, they cheer us up, they keep us safe, they help us find parking places. They do all these things to assist us in making choices and amplifying our ability to believe in the goodness of the universe. But I had a really, really terrible tragedy that happened in my family. One of my nieces lost two of her young sons and her husband in one afternoon in a drowning accident. And it was just such a devastating experience. And I went to the angels to say, oh, my goodness, you know, what can we do about this? How can you help with this? And that's actually how that chapter, the 80-20 rule, and how the angels help us during times of tragedy really came about, came from an actual real-life experience. And I learned a lot. You know, I had been working with angels all my life. The beings had been asking me to write this book for about 10 years, and I would do a chapter and then go off and live my life and then another chapter and, you know, how things happen. It takes a really different energy, I think, to begin something than it does to complete it. Completion's like this whole other thing, at least for me.
Yes.
But finally, you know,
You're the only one that's ever delayed on doing something.
Right. So, you know, but they were so proud of me, and the angels helped me so much to stay focused and to get complete. And so when we came to this chapter on the tragedies, it just felt so real to me to remember that the 80-20 rule that applies on this planet, you know, 80% of whatever you do, say, feel, act, you know, think, 80% of the time is actually the energetic that formulates or creates your life and your future. And then that other 20%, when things happen that are, you know, we'd rather avoid, and they're horrible, and we want to take them personally, and they sometimes stop our flow. We all have them, and in actuality, what the angels talked to me about was trying to really redo my thinking to begin to notice that these 20% times actually are part of the perfected pattern of how life goes on this planet. They're not usually truly that personal to you. Stuff happens. You know, we come here to learn and grow. And so stuff happens to help us learn and grow. Experiences occur because of choice, because of karma, because of past life things, because two you know, automobiles try to get in the same space at the same time, and under the laws of gravity, that doesn't work, so you have an accident. Do you see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They really started training me to sort of notice that the tragic times are, quote-unquote, in many ways, as normal as the powerful, incredible times. And the more that we embrace asking for help and receiving help and learning and growing from those times, whether they're little or big tragedies, do you know? You can talk about the fires in California and then talk to some of the people who are having the experience, and even though it's horrible, there are ways the universe can always use whatever is happening for the good. And that's the kind of thing that the beings were talking to me about. You know, when we get down in our tragedies, of course, that's really difficult to get in touch with. And I did not realize some of the angels, there's a whole group of angels called the Blue Ones.
Yeah.
And I had worked with them before. They really help with focus and just because that blue vibration that they carry is so, it's just very sweet. And I had not realized that one of their main jobs on the planet was actually to, they're present at every deathing and at every funeral, giving assistance to people, whether we know it or not. You know, it's like Mother Mary's always present, the Blue Ones. And the surprising thing for me, see, I learned from this chapter, again, I had already worked with the Rainbow Angels because they're so wonderful. They're this huge group of healing angels, one of the very first groups of healing beings ever present on the planet. And they look like living, breathing rainbows when I see them. They're just so gorgeous. And I had always known them because they helped me do birthday readings for people. We, you know, at the time of your birthday, we receive, we do a review of the year and then look at what energy is coming for the new year. And all these spiritual gifts show up that will help us understand, you know, what we're going to be working on in the next year and what our soul and the angels is giving to us to help us with whatever's showing up. And so the Rainbow Angels had always been the one to show up for me and present people's birthday gifts to them. And they told me it's because celebrating our life, our lives, and celebrating our birthdays is one of the truly most healing things that we can do, to celebrate ourselves and to know how exquisite and wonderful we really are, each individual. Isn't that incredible? Well, when I was writing the book, they also told me that the Rainbow Angels act in the times of tragedy to bring inspiration, to literally hold people up when they want to only fall down. And I just thought, what an interesting thing to know these incredible beings. They're just like pieces of light, you know, pieces of a rainbow, who are always present. Their energy is always flowing to us. And part of what comes out in the book is just, it's a little bit like a love story, you know, like falling in love with the goodness that's available in the universe and saying, yes, I want that. Yes, I'll receive that. Let me meditate. Let me receive from these beings. And that it's truly, truly that easy, that simple. You know, facing issues and hanging out with all the problems and things that we face in life is not always easy. But isn't it great to know that we're not by ourselves? You know, that there's all this goodness that would support us and, you know,
yes, and
catch our back, whatever they call that, you know.
What?
You know, it's like the angels have our back, they say,
oh.
You know.
It's
not like they can make anything happen, at least not in my experience, but because they tell me that it's important for us to work with the invitation energy. You know what you were saying at the beginning about going to products and working with things that are really simple and natural. Well, one of the first things the beings taught me about was how our breath, the in and out vibration and action of the breath is actually one of the, you know, most real and true and pure messages from Source about how to be in life, just how to be, like flexible, like giving and receiving, going with the flow. Do you know?
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and working on how to manifest, how to have what we really, what actually belongs to us and is important to us in our life. The being says, especially Archangel Michael is the one who told me about this. He said one of the most important things is to remember about giving and receiving. A lot of times when we're trying to manifest, we mainly only think about receiving, you know, or getting or making something happen. And Archangel Michael talked a lot about thinking in terms of the breath, about giving and receiving, and making sure that when you're asking for what belongs to you, that you include always adding 20% to what you think you need, so that you can feel really free to give back out to whatever has inspired you. He taught me a lot when I was first doing my soul attunement sessions with people. I used to teach classes on all the subjects that we have so much angst about, and money's sort of always been one of them, you know. And Archangel Michael came forward and said, you know, here's the real scoop on tithing. It's important that we acknowledge what inspires us and that we support that and that we give to that. Time, energy, money, whatever it is that you have, tithing is actually an incredible concept. And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, just churches or religions or anything, unless that's what inspires you. He talked a lot about just the love that's available in the universe. That's what the angels talk about almost all the time, is the love and how we can accomplish anything when we make that the first priority. You know, receiving, God's love, giving, God's love to other people, all that kind of stuff. And I know it sounds like preaching. I don't mean it to be. I'm just reporting what the beings say, that that's the actual key. It's not so much about defending a particular belief system or defending a particular thing, but going towards the love that's available. And that's what almost every one of the beings, you know, whether you're talking to the sky and the clouds, or whether you're talking to the parking angels, or whether you're talking to the rainbow angels, or these ones that are mentioned in one of the later chapters, the project angels, which are kind of different. They're very fluidic, and they help us hold, start the energy for a project. These are the ones I met when I was writing the book, finishing the book, let me say, okay? They're really helpful when it comes to completion. They're called project angels. And more than anything, they do inspiration through the love vibration, through this very pure love vibration.
Ah, now what was it that you were feeling from them as you were moving ahead on completing this book?
Boy, well, part of the time, if you want to know the honest truth,
well,
I was in...
Okay, go ahead. Give us the honest truth.
Yeah, the honest truth, yeah. Not the dishonest truth. Yeah, yeah, smarty. Well, you know, I think all of my life I was afraid to complete things, because if I gave my heart and soul and nobody cared, would I be able to stand still being alive on the planet? You know, I admit that's probably one of this thought or feeling or fear that was inside of me. And the project angels talked to me almost every day. I would meditate a little before I would sit down to write, and they would show me images of, once I got complete, then there would be the next thing to do and the next thing and the next thing. And they sent me love. That's actually how, I mean, see, I sound just like, you know, oh my goodness, I'm just talking too much. But it was actually a true experience, you know, where I would get scared, and then I would experience them coming and helping me, and I would feel loved. So this particular book, you know, I'm writing several more that are stories and metaphysical, bringing metaphysical truths in through stories. And so they're quite different, actually, than the Angel book. But I felt so held, you know, and loved, like I was just sitting having conversations in the other dimensions with Source or with the angels while I was writing. Because I'd been working on it 10 years, and it got complete in, you know, a month or two.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
It is exciting. It was so, it's like inside yourself, you know, when you, you've been wanting to do something, and not because so much of, you know, getting famous or making a million or, you know what I mean, that's the stuff that is sort of in the upper mind or something, or on the surface of the mind. But in my heart, this was like actually giving love back to Source, to what had inspired me all my life. So see, this was like my tithing to the universe, you know? And I'll tell you something that happened that was very exciting to me. There was a little bit of delay in the book getting published. And so I got nervous and upset, you know, whatever. And the being said, there's a reason for this. There's a purpose. We use everything to the highest. So let us tell you what is happening. Well, the book arrived in my hands on August 1st. And the beings immediately took me into a place that's actually called the four-star convergence chamber. It's like a place where a bunch of stars got together, and they hold the cosmic think tank that holds a cosmic forest, and a place where we go and do a lot of the help and planning and just work between the humans and at the soul level. And anyway, when I was taken there, they showed me that a portal, an energy portal, was opened the day the book came out between the angelic realm and the human realm to increase the communication and the joy of communication between, you know, humans and the other dimensions, to make it easy. You know, we're pushing our easy button. Our easy button got pushed the day this book came out, and that was the joy of this, the power that was infused to it by having it happen at the certain time that it happened. So, you know, to me, a lot of what, when we're working on becoming more conscious or improving our life, you know, being in that advanced living state, it just seems like it's so important to have an acceptance about perfected timing, and to begin to notice how everything, every part of our journey is valuable, you know.
Even the parts we don't like so much?
Especially maybe even the parts we don't like so much. You know this. I know you're teasing. You know, I look at almost every incredible story out there that you hear about people who have, you know, created these marvelous things, and generally it comes from a tragedy that happened to them, or something that woke them up or made them uncomfortable.
Now, and I'm curious. Carol, I don't know from your experience, because certainly with the ebb and flow of things, the planet, as best that I can tell, for quite a long time, has been under the people, the inhabitants of the planet, have been under some pretty heavy stress and strain.
Yeah.
I mean, the contrast to a Garden of Eden, you know, beautiful environment and people being nice to each other, that doesn't seem to have been the predominant energy for a long time. So it just kind of, you know, makes me curious how to call upon the angels to help get us back on track, or to deal with these energies, and maybe some of this ties into the Lotus grid of how we're going to basically reclaim that more divine and happy state of being on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, it looks like to me that one of the reasons things are so awful is because everything's out of balance. You know, even humans, think about when you're first born and the little baby is just like this little ball of light straight from source, so pure, and then all this imprinting begins. And the imprinting is about rushing and acting a certain way and all the shoulds and on, it just goes on and on. And so part of what occurs is most of us, or many, many beings, grow up and everything in them and around them is out of balance. Their true self, their authentic and essential energy is repressed, and so we're in a totally in a state of imbalance. That is the truth. Whether you're talking about the air or people who make $5 an hour and people who make $5 million a day, you know, there's imbalance in almost every arena you can look at. And so we sit around and go, well, I'm telling you, if we weren't uncomfortable with that, if we weren't sad and, you know, mad about that, then I'd really be worried, you know. We'd really be repressing ourselves, you know. And one of the things that we can learn more about on my website, thank you for mentioning that, lotusgrid.com.
LotusGrid.com.
Right.
Okay.
In February of 06, Metatron had awakened me from a dream. Mostly the angels, that's how they'll talk to me. They come and dream me. And sometimes it takes a little while. I'm a little hard of hearing, like most humans are, you know. It takes me a while to go, oh, this is something you really want me to pay attention to, right?
And he started... Can you give a little information about specifically? I know some people know and familiar with Metatron, but could you kind of...
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, most people know who the archangels are, Michael and Uriel and Raphael and Gabriel, and there are a few others. Those are the most well-known ones, probably, and there is a chapter on them in my book, by the way, a little bit. actually, Metatron is considered to be the head of the archangels. He seems to work in really... far away in the 22nd dimension. And he almost always appears to me, he works mainly with helping to bring really huge planetary-wide evolutionary work to the humans. He's been working on this Lotus Grid project for about 100 years, he said. And this is just what he told me, that, you know, in the past we've tried to get the pure love vibration anchored here, and usually it would be through one being, the Buddha or the Christ or Thomas More or whatever. And then that one being would get killed. And so we only had pure love anchored here about 10%. And so that what's going on now, and it's happening over a period of time, 06 to 11-11-11, that thousands and thousands and thousands of light workers agreed before we were born to carry, it's almost like an extra chakra, you know, our essential creativity and pure love energy held tight inside ourselves, hidden like a rosebud or a lotus flower, all kind of, you know, bound up. And that at a certain time frame, we would all begin unfolding our lotus energy. And mainly the grid refers to, it's almost as if viewing each individual person as, you know, a piece of the planet, a grid of the planet that we each carry, not only a personal vibration, but we're like standing as the helper for a piece of a mile wide strip, let's say, a piece of the planet herself, for the opening of our creativity, our dynamic true selves to be able to come forward and to share. So the amount of, just being inspired, the ideas, the deeper feelings, the commitment to trying to correct some of the things that are out of balance. You'll notice, even just in the last year or two, the amount of conscious awareness about, you know, Darfur and different places where there are hideous things going on, where we're getting people to care about that and donate money. And it also, of course, increasing, you'll notice the things that have happened to the planet herself, to the Mother Earth, like Katrina, you know, or the tsunami and or the fires. So much of what everything is actually geared towards, the evolution of humanity's consciousness so that we will and can and are in the process of creating that, you know, heaven on earth or whatever you want to call it, the golden age, at least the place where we get it, that we're in it together, and that the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, are through our choices so that we can become more conscious in our choices and be proactive in our choices. And it would be, the example would be, if you've had a fear, like I was talking about, of completing things, and then inviting your own love, your own intuitive energy, your own light to expand within you and reverberate back on you, you know, and assist you in becoming more you, amping up your willingness to share, to help others. You know how the saying goes, when we fill ourselves up with light and love and self-love first, it just naturally, automatically spills out on other people. When we stand and say, yes, I am responsible for my life, and since that's true, since what that really means is that I'm here to respond to life from my true essence, then let me do that. Let me bless every step I take in this job I don't like.
Now,
you know,
that sounds really, really extra special, because so often around religious groups, there's been this saying that if you're not receiving enough, you need to give to get, is a saying that's been out there a lot. And certainly there's people that will stand up and say, when I started tithing, by gosh, I only had, you know, $10 in my pocket, but I gave it all to the church, and then pretty soon something good happened. One of the things that I just heard you mentioning, which I think could be kind of important, is this part about actually receiving this divine love to me, I'm wondering if this might be a special form of being selfish, of being self-loving to the point where we actually open up and really get good at receiving this enormous love, so that we do actually come from a full cup, instead of, I see sometimes people that are hurting, feeling guilty about they're not giving enough, and being told by different people, well, if you're not giving enough, no wonder you're hurting, when apparently, if I'm hearing you correctly, there is free for the taking, enormous love energy that
That's
we don't
right.
have to do anything to get it. We
That's
just
right.
are deserving, and it's trying to be given to us 24/7.
That's right.
Woo!
I mean, hey! Yay! It's really so true, but it's sort of like, you know, I call it divine selfishness, what you're talking about. Because
divine selfishness.
Mm-hmm, it's Ooh. Our birthright. It's really our birthright to receive the love and support, and to receive that first, to get totally filled up, you bet, and then just watch to see what falls out of you. You know what? You can, I declare, it is one of those things that has to happen. It's sort of like when you ask from a pure heart of the universe, it has to respond. It has no other choice. And the same is true, you know, when we beg, or if we're desperate, sometimes we don't get what we ask for, but it's because that very desperation energy has gone and blocked the free flow, like a breath. You know, if you're hyperventilating, you're not getting very good breath, are you? You know,
uh-huh.
And it's kind of like that in our relationship with Source, to giving and receiving are folds of the same cloth. They actually occur at the same time. So when we're receiving that exquisite love of the universe, that pure divine love, when we receive it from the trees and the sky and the air and each other and the angels and you name it, you know, it's just so present. When you can put yourself, when you say, okay, I will stand here and I'll receive. See, you open up immediately. That's what has to happen to receive. Think about if you have, your hands are full, and you're carrying two boxes and three cups and whatever, and your hands are full,
yeah.
And somebody tries to send you something or give you something. You can't do it unless you surrender those things and open up, can you? You can't receive if you've always, you know, pushing energy out. So allowing the energy to come in, allowing ourselves to go into a receiving position and just, you know, feel what that is like. It's so incredible to be. I know a lot of people, you know, think it's better to give than receive. The beings tell me it's such an equal thing, and it actually depends on, you know, giving from your sense of being loved by Source. Well, that is true. That's a powerful thing to do. You know, it is.
So the first thing, the reminder in the first commandment of the Ten was, "On the Lord thy God, put no other gods before me." And then in the Bible it mentions, "Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness, and then all things will be added unto you."
And see, the light is within. The kingdom is within. You know, when they're talking about on our breath, that's our first connection to Source, ends up being the breath. So it ends up, to me anyway, it's not even about a belief. It's just about honoring the life force, you know, and you can come forward just from being alive and end up knowing the goodness of the universe that's available to you to receive. There's one little paragraph in the book where the being said, "You make sure you tell people. It doesn't matter if you've ever believed in it before. It doesn't matter what you believe now. It doesn't matter. This is not about you've got to prove yourself in order to receive this beauty and this love. It's right there for the breathing. You know, you can breathe it right in. And almost always what occurs is it brings us to a point of gratitude. And well, we can call it love, gratitude, whatever word you want to use for it. You know, the words don't matter nearly as much as the feeling, do they?
Uh-huh.
And I think that one of the big things that's actually happening at a planetary level is a shift, you know, for all of us, where we're starting to create more from our feelings, from our heart, from our love, from our essential self, rather than from our thought. So that's why it's so great to, you know, part of what we're all working on is to make peace with our feelings and with our emotions to help transfigure, you know, anger and hatred and all those things. You were talking earlier about, you know, the world seems pitiful. And I'm going, yeah, it's pretty out of balance. And one of the things that has made it, this is what Archangel Raphael talks about all the time, because he works so much down in the emotional body. That's his main job on the planet. And, yeah, that's one of the main things I try to do in the book is to let people know how these beings look to me, what they look like, and what their jobs are, and different things that you can ask for help from the different ones.
So they can learn more about that. It looks like in Chapter 4 of your book called The Big Five.
There you go.
Ah.
There you go.
Now, well, I'm also wondering, you've got a CD, because I'm thinking of ways to support people that are easy. In the midst of the busyness, one of the things that has been emphasized by a friend of mine, and that's Reverend Michael Beckwith, who's one of the stars of The Secret and the head minister of the Agape Church in Los Angeles. He talks about being sure to take regular time with your spiritual practice.
Yeah.
And so in the midst of the busyness, I'm not familiar, I haven't heard it, but I'm kind of looking at your CD on this Lotus Grid opening, and then there's a track 2, a 30-minute meditation.
Oh, it's so wonderful.
Is that going to help people, do you think, to open up to receiving more of this love already kind of knocking at the door? Let me in.
Yes, I tell you, there are two, actually, CDs for that purpose, because there's an 06 meditation CD when Metatron first started opening the Lotus Grids. Oh, and it's just, oh my gosh, the energy that came in was so incredible. And then the second one, the 07 one, he anchored discernment. He helped us anchor discernment energy deep within each of us to assist with, you know, making clearer choices and being able to discern, you know, what's yours and what's somebody else's, or what you need to keep and integrate of things that have happened to you in your life, and what you need to just absolutely let go of and move on. You know, so that's what really opens us up to more receiving is knowing what it's okay to let go of.
Ah.
And so that discernment energy that came in 777, the next Lotus Grid opening is 888, then 999-10-10-10-11-11-11. So, and people can get all sorts of information and be a leader or join a group that's already going on all over the world by going to the website, by the way.
And that's lotusgrid.com?
Right.
And then, now, if people out there, I don't know, I think you kind of do some energy work, some counseling, don't you?
Yes, well, for 1 second, though, if I could just go back to the CD, and then I'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, too.
Because there's actually, when you go to the website, on the there's a book and CD page. There's guided imagery meditations for with the angels to help you get to meet your guardian angel through a series of color chambers. There's this incredible initiation swim with the dolphins to the bottom of the sea that really helps the chakras. There's actually a CD, resonance affirmations for days of the week. And there's a booklet that goes with that. There's also a self-esteem and body health one that's really great. But the latest one that I did, and again, the beings asked me for about 6 years to do this, but you notice I'm teeny-weeny slow, and I finally got to it, and I want to tell you about it.
You're building up momentum there, girl.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get in my perfected timing here, everybody. But this one is called A Simple Walk, and it's actually specifically for busy people, people that work out in the world, that have regular jobs out in the world, that are out in the traffic and out in the, you know, the hum of things, because it's a relaxing, you know, meditation for a relaxing walk. But it actually carries rejuvenation energy embedded in it. This is what the being said to me, to get the word out to people who would like help with relaxation and rejuvenation. That's what that one's for. So you can learn lots more about the CDs on the website. And then back to, let's see what you asked me about. Also there's information about the counseling work that I've done for 25 years. It's called Soul Attunement. And I'll tell you what happened to me is Archangel Michael appeared to me in 1983. I'm standing in my room in San Diego, and he appeared as this giant 7-foot golden ray of light that came in. And it was just so exquisite. I'm just standing there going, okay, this is cool, you know. And then I started hearing this being speak to me, and he was saying, you know, we need you to, I was planning on being a famous writer, of course, back then. And he said, we need you to do this work and help people get to know their soul, get to know their essence, get to know their angels, just really all the stuff that's unseen, that's been really normal for you, Carol. We're asking you to introduce other people to that. And this is one of the ways that I know that the world is actually doing great. When I first started 25 years ago, 83, 24 years, whatever, I would have to do the first half of the session just, you know, to get somebody's energy up enough so that they could interact with their soul or their higher self. And I'm telling you now, you know, that everybody's already there. The changes that have occurred in the last 10 years especially, they're just awesome. And I'm just saying this to everybody who's listening or ever will listen. You know, it is so important for us to know that what we are doing and thinking and saying is making a difference, is making a big, huge difference. You know, this is straight from Archangel Michael. He says, listen, it matters more that it's you who's doing it than it does what you're doing. You know, so whether you're washing dishes or selling products or talking on the phone or scrubbing the floors, you know, or running Congress, it's still the most important part is that it's you who's doing it. And think about the more that we know ourselves, the more that our essential true energy comes out and we're expressing from our real self, not our scared self or our prejudiced self or our karmic self. Do you know? All the things that we came here to learn and grow, but going back to that essential spiritual self and sharing that with the world. Oh, my goodness. I just can't. I don't even know what we can create, Ken. I think it's just going to be fabulous, you know.
Yes, and it's wonderful that you're helping with these different CDs and meditations and books, especially to help us to be reminded that there is this enormous amount of support, because so often people are going, well, you know, I got to find a good support group.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that maybe you could comment on that I'm beginning to realize in my own life is I have been increasing my focus on what does it actually mean to put God first in more and more aspects of my life. Because what I'm thinking is, since the Father's already within, if I'm looking around and thinking I need some more support in different areas, and I'm not calling upon that divine support first, then it's like, well, no wonder, you know, kind of missing the boat, trying to catch the airplane after it's taken off.
It's true. I think that one of the, and this is even relates to manifesting, my experience when we are thinking of things as being outside of ourself or outside of our reach or something beyond ourself. It is hard to manifest them, even if whether you're talking about peace with God or you know, being a millionaire or finding a boyfriend. I'm talking to myself on that one. Let's see.
Okay.
Let me hear what they're saying now. This is important, I think. But one of the very first, recommendations that I always hear is to look within, to go inside. You know, we have been feeling things so much more deeply than ever, ever, ever before, because consciousness not only goes up, you know, but it goes deep within. That's really where, you know, heaven on earth right this second is actually going to be inside you, sweetie. It always is. It's going to be inside each individual to know that we're loved and that we can share, that we're alive, that the breath carries divine energy in and out between the dimensions. We channel with every breath. We bring divine essence to whatever we're doing by being there. And then to be there consciously, oh my goodness. And here's a trick that the beings have been talking a lot about lately. Whatever it is you're going to do, say you're going to take, you know, a little bubble bath. Well, maybe you wouldn't do that, but the girlies would.
Oh, so I like
maybe
bubble baths.
Good, good. So you're taking a bubble bath and you're going, oh, I'm being selfish. I ought to be out, you know, doing something else. But you need this bubble bath and you're tired and it's relaxing and you're so joyful. And what you can do even before you sit down to take the bubble bath is dedicate it to more and more beings experiencing joy. Dedicate it to sending comfort to every animal and human that needs comfort tonight. So that you link whatever you're doing in the physical to a higher thing, or at least, let's say, something else that's giving energy. And it's not taking away your energy or your experience, but it's sort of like saying, universe, that is unlimited, please send energy to this other place while I'm also enjoying this energy. You know, it's one of those, we really are all connected type of things.
Yes.
And
yes,
you can
we
you
won't
can
be
make,
lifted up until the least among us has been lifted up.
And even though, you know, that might sound like, you know, an old quote-unquote belief, it still has its roots in truths, doesn't it? You know, I think that a lot of us are sort of going Aquarian in our beliefs, you know, and going feeling how in the future we are the family of humans. You know, we are all a family, and that's
now
that's
maybe the
truth.
Angels have helped. I've got a bit of a question that was just coming up on that saying, we won't be lifted up till the least among us has been lifted up kind of thing, and that we are all interconnected and helping each other is so important. One of the aspects, maybe you could comment upon this, is some discernment around when someone may be on a, I don't know if they call this their destiny or just the life lessons, but
a downward spiral, so to
when,
speak.
Yeah, when things are, they're real hurting, and yet I'm hearing that just for some people, that's just perfect for what they need to learn.
Absolutely, that's really the truth.
You rectify those two things between, you know, help your brother, and then how do you know when to just let them go sort of stew in their own juices instead of assisting?
Well, I'll tell you the what I consider magic tool that Saint Germain actually showed me at one time. It has to do with going to the center of your being. So just as we were talking about before, if you're going to ask the question, see, it's not either or, either my brother or me. It is a matter of let me go to myself and my spirit and my knowing and my God self first. So you go to the center of your being where there's no judgment. There's only divine justice. And it's actually it's something that it would be great for anyone to practice. You take a breath and you say the words, I stand in the center of my being. And then you just let yourself go there. And sometimes you'll hear a click. Sometimes you feel it cooler or warmer. But it's something that I have my students practice over and over, because when you go to the center of your being to make any of those choices, in general, number one, you'll know. The first thing you can always give is blessings. I send light and blessings to this issue and this problem. And I ask Source to send light and blessings to this issue or problem. And then you go to the center of your being. Because, you know, light is non-interfering. You can always send light. You can always send help to people. You know that. We can send light to the Middle East. We can ask for universal understanding. We can always ask for the generic energy without interfering on anyone's karma or anything like that. You know, instead of saying, I want my brother to stop doing cocaine or whatever, you can always send, you know, I ask the light of understanding to be sent to him. I ask intuition to be amped up. I ask for his light to come and help him. Do you understand what I mean? You can always ask and send generic light, generic or dynamic universal energy to anyone without interfering. And then you come to yourself. You come to the center of your being. And that is the place inside each individual where there's only you and God, you and Source, whatever word you want to use for that. It's a place you don't let anybody in, not your soulmate, not anybody. It's just you and God in this space, in the center of your being. And in that space where there's no judgment, then you begin, when you look at an issue, generally it will be from a more generic or non-personal place where you want to, see, mainly we end up asking the wrong questions. We'll be sitting around going, how can I fix this? Instead of saying, how can I respond to this situation in a way that helps and supports me as well as my brother? What's for the highest good? What will support the highest good? You know, rather than how can I fix this? Because in general, we're not responsible for other people, except, you know, parents with their kids up until age 7 or 8 anyway. But in general, we're not responsible for. Our job is to respond to them from the center of our being. Do you see what I'm saying?
Ah, wow.
Because
Carol, what a sweet way to kind of wrap up our time together. I feel like we could continue to talk
for I know it.
Much, much longer.
I get so excited, you can see that.
And I want to remind listeners to go to your website, www.lotusgrid.com. And, of course, if they click on a number of different places, the Soul Attunement section or the Books and Tapes and CDs section in the Soul Attunement, it's got this information on breath work and different areas that we can do that free to avail yourself to this. And then, of course, there's more. Get her book. It's a wonderful book on bringing angels into your life every day. It's like more of building your spiritual practice to call on the support that's there. So, Carol, thank you so much for bringing this to myself and my listeners. This is just great work you're doing.
Thanks. And I want to remind everybody to go to your website, too. Boy, the products and just the energy of that website. I got a blessing just from going to the website, sweetie.
Well, thank you. When folks go to advancedliving.com, it's a work of art in progress. We're doing what we can to build a comprehensive wellness resource. And I'm just so grateful to have that and to have beautiful people like you blessing myself and my listeners. And I just send a little prayer off to you and to all of us that we more and more each day feel that divine love that is being poured forth upon us. And from that place, there's a blossoming in our lives. And I just want to wish you, Carol, and all my beloved listeners a fabulous week until we meet again next Saturday for more Advanced Living. So, God be with you all, and until then, goodbye for now.
Bye for now. Let's go.